You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes, part of Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, and today we are joined by a gentleman that has been covering the Ohio State Buckeyes at a high level for a while now. It is Dan Hope from 11 Warriors. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jay.
Yeah, no problem. Glad you're here. The pro day is today. Today is Tuesday, March 30th, 2021. And I'm excited for the pro day, excited to see what Buckeyes show out. I've heard all about Tommy Togiai and what his bench press might be. What is your initial thought about how Ohio State's pro day will possibly go?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's just a lot of talent here. I mean, you think about the fact Ohio State had 14 guys who were invited to the NFL scouting combine. That's more than any other school. So across the board at basically every position group, you know, you've got guys at this pro day who have a chance to be drafted. You know, obviously Justin Fields is the guy who gets most of the attention, but you can go to running back with Trey Sermon, tight end with Luke Farrell, offensive line, Wyatt Davis and Josh Myers, defensive line with Jonathan Cooper. You got four linebackers and Pete Warner, Baron Browning, Justin Hilliard, Tuff Borland. You got Sean Wade in corner, and then you even got a kicker and a punter and Blake Hobiel and Drew Crispin. So there's going to be a lot of talent on that field today and a lot of guys for NFL scouts to watch.
A lot of talent at every position, like you laid out so very well. And the linebacker position, the one thing that I think as far as a player in that group, the four of them that can raise their draft stock the most is Justin Hilliard. Didn't play much last year, had some injuries that derailed him from being a prominent piece on the field for the team. But from what we saw in the small sample size last year and just the possibility of how good he can be in the pro or what kind of pro he can be, that's the first thing I think about when I think about a guy that can raise their draft stock a large amount or a high amount. Hilliard is the first name that comes into my head.
I totally agree with you on that because I think Justin Hilliard has the physical attributes that NFL teams are looking for at linebacker. I think we saw that in those last few games of the season this past year. I mean, he's a twitchy kind of athlete. He's a guy. This guy was a five-star recruit for a reason. And unfortunately, because of his injuries, we went most of his career without really seeing it. But I think we saw there at the end with him finally being fully healthy and finally, you know, becoming the player he was always expected to be, that this is a guy who has NFL tools as a linebacker. Now, the biggest question with him, of course, that teams are going to have is going to be his injury history because, you know, he had those biceps tears. He had the Achilles. And so I think, you know, those medical exams are going to be a huge thing for him. That teams are going to want to look at. But I think in terms of his physical ability, he's got a lot of potential to be somebody who I think can have a very solid career in the NFL. And I would not be surprised if he's one of the stars of Pro Day today.
Do you think that with his skill set, that his build, that NFL teams will be looking for, he could be a 4-3 or 3-4 linebacker?
Yeah, I think he's got some flexibility there because even at Ohio State, he played Sam this past year, but he also spent some time playing as an inside backer as well. So I think he's a guy who's, you know, got some versatility where, you know, he could be an inside guy most likely in a 3-4 or in a 4-3 could be a guy that, you know, is probably either a Will linebacker or a Sam linebacker.
Let's stick with the linebackers here very quickly. Baron Browning, very athletic, a guy that Buckeye fans have grown to love seeing how he has progressed and how he has just basically shown off his skills throughout the season. This is a day that his athleticism will be put on display.
Absolutely. I think this is a setting that really plays well into a guy like Baron Browning because, again, five-star recruit for a reason. This is a guy who has a ton of athleticism. For a guy of his size. And, you know, we talked about the 4-3, 3-4. I think he's a guy that's particularly intriguing for a 3-4 team as a guy who could potentially play that outside linebacker role in a 3-4 because he mostly played as an off-ball linebacker for Ohio State, but we saw it this past year. They used him some in those pass rushing packages, and we saw it in the national championship game. One of the few plays that went Ohio State's way was him forcing that fumble and recovering it himself early in the game. So I think he's a guy that is really intriguing for NFL teams in terms of maybe his best football is still ahead of him.
We'll put the next two together because they have a lot of players that I'll try to touch on here. But Warner and Borland, two different skill sets. One was a leading tackler. One's a guy that people have been in the back end of the draft. What are your thoughts on those two?
I think Pete Werner is a guy who's not getting enough attention as an NFL draft prospect right now, because I think he's a day two pick, a second or third round guy. I think he's a guy that with all the different things he can do. I mean, we saw it, you know, 2 years ago, he was playing Sam linebacker. At times he was even lining up at safety. Then this past year, they moved him to Will linebacker. And like you said, he was the team's leading tackler. So I think he's a guy, he's got a lot of versatility and a guy who can be that three down linebacker at the next level, where he's got the athleticism and coverage ability that, you know, NFL teams are really going to like. With Tough, I think the issue there is the athletic limitations. We saw them at Ohio State. I think they're going to be an even bigger factor in the NFL, where he's just not a guy that I think you can play on passing downs in the NFL. So I think he's a guy, you know, can he maybe be a role player for an NFL team as a run stopper and as a guy who contributes on special teams? I think that's certainly possible, especially when you factor in all the intangibles that he has. But I don't think today is the kind of day that's going to play well for Tough Borland, because I would be surprised if he ran a really fast 40. It's an important day because you don't want to run a 5.2. You know, if he can run a, you know, a 4.7, 4.8, that could be a positive development for Tough. But, you know, I don't think I'd be surprised if he has some eye popping numbers today.
How does a player like Tough Borland, where this day is not really ideal for his skill set, how does he, where does he wow the scouts and executives so that he either gets drafted or gets picked up in undrafted free agency? Only mentioning the last part, because I do think that seventh round, sixth round undrafted free agency role is probably where he'll end up in at the end of April.
Yeah, well, I think where he's really going to impress teams, and a lot of this process has already happened, is the interview process. Mm-hmm. Because, again, we're talking about a three-time captain at Ohio State. Only two people have ever done that, JT Barrett and Tough Borland. So that says a lot about the kind of guy he is, the kind of character he has. And I mean, you heard it from the Ohio State coaches for years. I mean, this is a guy they had a lot of trust in. He's a really smart, high IQ football player. So I think that's where he's really going to impress NFL teams. When they're talking to him, when they're asking him to draw up plays, I think he's going to excel in that area. You know, I think on the field at a pro day, you know, again, I don't expect a great 40 or vertical jump or free cone drill or anything like that. But, you know, looking fluid in the position drills, I think, would be a big thing. Is, you know, you're not going to expect him to look like Ryan Shazier out there in a pro day, but just to look fluid, to show some ability to, you know, drop back and do stuff in coverage, I think that's what NFL scouts are really going to be looking for.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. I'm going to bounce back to the offense, then go back to the defense and try to quickly go back and forth. Number one, Justin Fields has heard a lot of criticism, has seen people. I know I saw somebody on Twitter, don't know why this individual would do this, where they tweeted at him and added him on Twitter, just criticizing him, and then got mad when Justin Fields blocked him on Twitter. I'm like, well, if you're going to criticize somebody, they have the right to respond to that however they see fit. He wanted to block you, so he doesn't have to see you anymore. I understand Fields' side, not so much the side of the analyst, but Justin Fields, if this were a 7-on-7 aspect, scouts may say, look, we're going to throw some different looks at you, see how you read the defense. Because I've heard that's a lot of criticism that people have had of him in this day, not just via the speed but with his arm. He can show off the skill set that he showed off the past 2 years at Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, you think of a setting like this for Justin Fields, he should thrive in this setting. I mean, this is a guy, you know, we've seen him make all the throws at Ohio State. We know he's got an elite arm. We know that he's accurate. We know that he can, you know, throw outside the pocket and show off his athleticism. And I imagine that, you know, the workout that's been scripted for him is going to showcase a lot of that, you know, moving outside the pocket, throwing on the run, because that's where he can really wow you. I think the problem from an evaluation standpoint here is you talked about the issues, the questions that teams might have, you know, whether it be his decision making or going through progressions. Those are things you're really not going to see in a pro day, right? Because you're talking about throwing against air, no pressure, no coverage. So to me, you know, I think today is about checking the boxes for Justin Fields. You know, go run fast in the 40, which you know he wants to do. You know, go have a really clean workout. You know, be consistently accurate. You know, show off that arm. I'm confident that he's going to be able to do that. I don't know if it necessarily is going to answer the questions that teams have, though, just because there's really no way of showing that in a pro day setting.
What about, I know it says I was going to go back to the defense, but I want to stick with the offense right now. The next name on my list under Fields is Trey Sermon, injured at the end of the season, injured at Oklahoma. This is a day where really you could just show off and see how you've recovered, because I do believe he is actually going to be one that's participating in the pro day today. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he responds, how his recovery has been from the injury he suffered in the national championship.
Yeah, I talked to him the other day, and he told me that he is back to 100%, that the shoulder's fine. So he's planning to do everything today except for bench press. But, yeah, I think, you know, this is a big day for him. You know, I think, you know, getting another guy, I think the 40's big four, because I think the question that NFL teams have about him is his top-end speed. Does he have that, you know, extra gear to break off long runs at the next level? So I think, you know, running a fast 40, doing well in the agility drills, could go a long way for him. And, you know, certainly as well, I mean, he's going to be one of the guys out there catching passes from Justin Fields. So I think showing a little bit more as a receiver, catching passes, running routes, can definitely help him as well.
I'm curious what you think his 40 time might be.
I would think right around the 4.5 mark. I know that his goal is to break 4.5. So my feeling is he's probably right around a 4.5. You know, maybe he's a 4.48, maybe he's a 4.53. Who knows? I mean, it helps to run it in a pro day setting versus a combine setting, because usually those hand times are a little bit faster. So, you know, maybe he gets a generous watch on Tuesday. But, you know, I think anything under 4.5 would be a good day for him.
It would be. I was thinking about 4.5 myself, probably low 4.5, maybe mid, like 4.55, which I think he's under the 4.55 aspect. I don't know if he'll run a 4.4, low, a high 4.4, but if it happens, you'll see my people being like, Jay, you're getting excited on Twitter. Yes, because I like to see Buckeyes do very well in their pro days. Luke Farrell, a guy that even Ryan Day at the end of the season said, Farrell did a lot of things for us that went unnoticed that you'd maybe not have talked about, or maybe the average type of fan may not have noticed his effect on the field, because you look at the box score, the stat sheet, nothing he does wows you. This day could be a day, well, it is a day, that he could really show off some of the skills in the passing game that weren't really showing off so much during the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that will definitely be the goal for him. Again, being one of Justin Fields' pass catchers today, definitely showing what he can do in that passing game, because we know he can block, and that's why he's going to be drafted. I mean, I think Kevin Wilson said it a couple weeks ago. He was talking to NFL scouts who said Luke Farrell is the best blocking tight end in the draft. So if he gets drafted, it's going to be because of his ability to block. And I think he will get drafted because of that ability to block. But certainly anything he can show as a pass catcher, anything he can do impressively in the drills. I mean, again, this isn't a guy you're going to expect to run a blazing fast 40, but you know, if he can look clean in those pass catching drills, you know, this is a guy who I think you project him to the NFL. He's a guy who can do a lot of run blocking, and he can be that short yardage type target. So just, you know, running clean routes, catching the ball cleanly, those things can certainly help.
A few of the glamour positions that won't really get the speed or the pass catching ability because it's not their position. You got Josh Myers and Wyatt Davis. One, I've seen late first round, early second. Josh Myers probably around the same thing there, maybe a little bit later due to the position. But they're both guys in this day that they're going to have scouts are going to be talking to at some way. And I do think that they both can really just show their agility as being offensive linemen and just really just ensure drafting me, you guys will make the right decision.
Absolutely. I think that's priority number one for both those guys. Because I think we know both those guys are, you know, they're big, they're really powerful guys. But I think being able to show, you know, their quickness, their, you know, movement ability. And I think especially for a guy like a Josh Myers, who maybe isn't viewed as an elite athlete at the center position, I think if he can go out and have, you know, a really good day, you know, in the agility drills and the position drills, you know, that could help solidify his stock as a second, third round guy.
How many reps do you think Togiai will get on the bench press?
Oh, man.
I had to ask.
Yeah, I mean, 50's a lot, man. I mean, it's never been done at the combine. So I'm not going to say 50, even though I know that's his goal. But I think he gets in the 40s. You know, I'll give him an over under of 44.
Goodness gracious. If that happens, man, Twitter's going to break. Even you may get some fans of the team up north that'll be like, wow, I wish we had that guy. What was your highlight from him this season, watching him play?
Man, I mean, I was just super impressed really from start to finish with him, because I think he's a guy, he's one of those guys, like, you could see the flashes of it the year before when he was, you know, playing occasionally. But, you know, then we saw it this year, and he was one of those guys that, you know, he came in with some hype, and I think he even, you know, exceeded that hype in terms of being a guy who was really a disruptive force all year long, really made, you know, a big impact on the game. And, you know, I think the thing I'm intrigued with him too, you know, going into this pro day is, you know, we know he's going to do great on the bench. We know he's really strong, but I think he's a really good athlete too. I mean, I know his goal is to break 5 seconds in the 40. We'll see if that happens, but like that might actually matter more than the bench, because we already know that he's super strong. You know, whether he gets 40 reps or 50 reps isn't going to change that. But if he can show, you know, that athleticism at pro day as well, I think that can be what really helps solidify him again as a guy who's right in that day two range.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. And guys, it's even free to sign up. Head to betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device. And when you do, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, go to betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device. And when you do, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. We have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is cookies and cream versus cookie dough chunk. Once again, anytime there's cookies and cream on the table, that's the first choice I am going to make every single time. Go to BuiltBar.com or to @bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Our Locked On College Basketball experts are recapping each weekend of March Madness on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch live on Monday nights at Locked On Live. If you missed this weekend's recap, follow Locked On SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Big 10, or Big 12 today and check the feed. Justin Cooper, I asked you a question about, I think it was Hilliard or Browning, one of the two earlier. I want to ask you the same thing about Cooper. Do you think Cooper can play in a, this is a question I got asked recently, so I'm going to throw it at you as well. Do you think Cooper can play in a 3-4 and or 4-3?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, I look at him primarily as a 4-3 defensive end, but he's a big enough guy that, you know, that 3-4 defensive end role, it's certainly possible. I think he'd probably have to still put on a little bit more weight to play that role. So I think he's probably a better fit for a 4-3, but I think he's big and strong enough that it's not a huge stretch to see him playing in a 3-4.
What would you expect to see from him in a day like today?
Yeah, I think, again, I think another guy, you know, I think showing agility, showing those position drills, you know, I mean, he's not a Chase Young, so he's not going to put up the same kind of eye-popping numbers you'd expect from, you know, a Chase Young or, you know, even a Bosa. I don't think he's quite that level of athlete. But I think, you know, if he can look good in the agility drills, you know, put up a decent 40 and then look, you know, really clean in the position drills, I think that can help him, you know, as a guy who's trying to get drafted in those later rounds.
I don't believe Sean Wade will be at the pro day. I saved him till the end on purpose, got a few extra minutes to elaborate on this. I think this day for him with this team and it, whatever pro day he's doing down in Florida later on, if he did both, I think that's just more for him to show a lot of people what he can do. I do know he's still recovering from that turf toe injury, so I don't even know if he's able physically to be at the pro day and participate in the different drills. But this is a day for Sean Wade with the criticism. He can at least show a little bit. Now, it's not the same as being in a game setting. He can show a little bit of the thing of what people have been asking and questioning. Can he do it or can he not? But Sean Wade's absence, it's not the end of the world, but a lot of coaches and executives, I know they're wondering what will we see from Sean Wade when we get to see him do drills?
Yeah, he will not be doing any drills today. He will be doing all of those on April 14. That will be at the Woody, 9 a.m. on April 14. So, you know, scouts are going to get that chance to see him. From talking to him, though, you know, I get the impression that even on April 14, he's most likely still not going to be at 100%. That turf toe has been something that's been lingering since the season, and it's just not quite recovered yet. So he's planning to do a limited workout in April. He's going to do the 40, the jumps, and the position drills. He's probably not going to do, you know, the full range of agility drills just because he is still recovering from that. But I agree with you in terms of, you know, when he does that workout, that's going to be important for him because he's a guy who did not have the kind of season he was expected to have this past year. You know, I think he's gone from a guy who was a potential first-round pick to now probably a fringe day two pick. I think we're probably looking at third to fourth round for Sean Wade right now. So I do think he needs to have a good workout. And I think specifically, I think he needs to run fast in the 40 because I think he's a guy that, you know, from what I've heard from people, you know, who are connected to NFL scouting circles, but a lot of teams view him as a safety right now. A lot of teams don't view him as a guy who's necessarily athletic enough to play that outside cornerback spot. And I do believe his future is playing inside, whether that's as a slot corner, as a safety. I think we saw that he was better there, but, you know, he's a guy who wants to show he has that versatility to play all five positions. And if he's going to do that, he's got to show that he has that speed to be able to play outside.
Do you think he has a speed to play outside?
I think he does. I mean, I don't really think speed was his problem last year. I think his problem was, you know, I mean, for one, he was battling, you know, multiple injuries. And I think, too, I think it was, you know, technique. I think, you know, making that move from inside to outside, it just didn't go as smoothly as he expected. And I think, you know, the technique just wasn't where it needed to be, you know, in part because this is a guy playing a new position. You have an off season without, you know, full practices due to COVID. And I think all of those things kind of added up to affect him. But I don't think athleticism is his problem. I think there's just things he needs to get better at as a football player if he's going to be able to play outside.
Dan, this has been a lot of fun. What are your last comments or thoughts going into today's pro day?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's going to be really fun to, you know, get to see what these guys do and kind of, you know, see, you know, who can improve their stock here. Because, you know, typically – you know, you've already had the combine at this point. So a lot of times on a pro day like today, a lot of the top guys aren't even working out or, you know, they're only doing limited things. But, you know, this is their one opportunity for most of these guys to work out for NFL scouts before the draft next month. So, you know, this is a really big day. I wish I could actually be there at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center today. Unfortunately, due to COVID protocol, I will be watching from home on NFL Network like everybody else. But still really excited to, you know, see and hear what these guys do. And it's certainly a big day for a lot of these guys.
It definitely is. Dan, if you could, before we go and wrap the show up, let everyone know where they can connect with you via social media, then also where they can read your work as well.
Yeah. So my Twitter handle is @Dan_Hope. That's DAN_HOPE. And you can go to 11warriors.com. I've got articles going up on there pretty much every day, and we're going to have a full coverage of today's pro day for sure.
For those of you watching via YouTube or WKYC.com, you do see his Twitter handle right underneath his name there. Mine underneath mine as well, at JSteven07. Guys, come back tomorrow and Thursday. We'll be recapping the pro day here on the podcast. You can read some of Dan's work at 11warriors.com. Then also check back the podcast to see just more every day as we're going to be following up and reviewing what happened at the pro day this afternoon.